Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt round his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Are you sitting comfortably? Where have you heard that before? Some of you might know. Somebody's got it. Listen with mother. Now that might show your age a bit, but that's right. Listen with mother. What about once upon a time? Once upon a time, what do you think you're going to hear? Fairy story. You're ready. It's going to be a fairy story, isn't it? The beginning. In Greek, the word archai, from which we get archaeologist. Archai. What do you think of? The beginning. What sort of beginning?
A journey
maybe, but the beginning, the word resounds way back. How does Genesis begin? In the beginning. John picks it up exactly in the beginning. But what does John talk about? He talks about more than creation in his gospel. Mark begins his gospel with the words, the beginning. We got them? No, we haven't. Right. What beginning? As I've said, two of the four Gospels actually begin like that. This is the beginning. It's a clear pickup from the whole idea of the creation story. But Mark is not just referring to the story of John the Baptist. He's not saying this is the beginning, it's John the Baptist. He's saying this is the beginning of the whole book. The book is about the story of a new beginning. And all the Gospels have this strand within them. They see their book as explaining the something that is the start of a new beginning. For Matthew, it's the beginning of a new kingdom. The rule of God established on earth in fulfillment of the Old Testament promises. For Mark, it is God revealing himself in preparation for what will be a final event, the eschaton, when God's rule will be finally established for all. For Luke, it's the beginning of the new age, even though the old age is still going on. And the old age will eventually finish and this new age will carry on. And for John, it's the beginning of a new personal relationship with God. They each emphasize different aspects of this new beginning. So the Gospels, when we come to them and read them, we need to understand that they're telling us about an exciting new beginning of God beginning something. And this is how it starts. And all four books tell that story. It's essentially the same story, but each emphasize different parts of it. And some people will tell you that there are discrepancies between the different Gospels which show how really it's all made up. Others say, well, John is so different from the other Gospels, it's a totally different account of what's going on. Go home and read Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. Scholars know it as the Johannine Thunderbolt. Because right in the middle of Matthew's Gospel, you get Jesus saying, no one knows the Father but the Son. Suddenly, out of nowhere, all that stuff in John is just brought in and referred to by Matthew as, oh, that's something Jesus said. They're telling different bits, maybe, of the story, but they're telling the same story. So, Mark says, the beginning of the gospel, the Evangelion, the good news. Boy, do we long for good news. I wonder what would happen if we made it a law that the newspapers and the TV could only publish good news stories. They couldn't tell us anything bad. Would we feel better about it? Possibly, but I suspect that because we live ordinary human lives, we meet enough that's bad going on around us as it is. But actually, in Roman times, really, they only announced the good news. A Roman legionnaire would turn up with a message from the emperor, and he'd go to a little platform like that. What does that remind you of? Hey? What does it remind you of? That's right. Where do you think we got the idea for one of these from? From the Romans. And the idea was that he would turn up and he would read out a message from the emperor. And he announces the good news. Roma prima, 6. Carthage United, 0. Hooray! Hey? England 19, New Zealand 9. Hooray! You see? Now, only the good news was spread. But nearly every New Testament writer sees the story of Jesus as good news. And by implication, this is a victory story. This is a victory story. Simplistically, we can say that for Mark, Jesus achieves his victory over suffering and pain. For Matthew, it's a victory for the promises of God to rescue his people. For Luke, it's a victory over evil for the whole world, for everyone. And for John, it's a victory over death. Mark wants us to know from the start that unlike Game of Thrones or Sanditon or whatever, the end will not disappoint you. The end will not disappoint you, but in fact will be a fantastic victory. So here, says Mark, is the good news, the good result. This is exciting. And wasn't it exciting to hear from Andy about plans and the way that not only prayer, but the gospel, the good news, is spreading out into all the world. So, oops. What does Mark go on to say? The beginning, the good news, Jesus. This is the beginning, the good news, and the good news is Jesus. The Gospels are quite simply about a person called Jesus. Some explain this, that Jesus was from Nazareth. They go into his lineage, his birth, and where he sits in history. But the story isn't just a diary. It isn't just a history. the story really only gets underway where Mark begins. God's preparation. God is doing something through this Jesus. And he prepares people with the latter-day prophet John, John the Baptizer, John the Baptist, and with the baptism of Jesus himself, which we'll eventually get to. The thrust of the Gospels is not a biography. It's a polemic that argues for the importance of events, and the importance of those events challenge us to a response. What really matters isn't quite the history or the geography, but what Jesus did. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus, the Christ, Christos, the anointed one. The books will explain how this person, Jesus, from an obscure corner of the known world, was God's anointed one. In Hebrew, Christos would have been translated as Messiah. Messiah. The anointed one of God who would rescue people from the debt of sin and the pain of suffering. John's preparation, after me will come someone far greater who will bring about forgiveness and rescue and healing. And this is Jesus. And the content of the Gospels then really unpack this for us in 4 points. Jesus' teaching, Jesus' miracles, Jesus' death, and Jesus' self-understanding. His teaching. He taught with authority. Not casuistically arguing, well, this rabbi said that and that rabbi said the other, which is what the rabbis did in Jesus' day. But rather, people recognize that he taught with authority when he said, but I say to you, I say to you, says Jesus, never mind what others have said. This is me speaking and suggesting his authority over both scripture and tradition, which was either blasphemous or true. He taught a radical ethics based on intention, not on deeds, that our morality ought to look at the future, not what we'd done in the past. Where are we going in the future? And therefore we have to behave to reach that future. He had no sense of maintaining the status quo. It had a bias to the poor, to the needy, and was challenging. But above all, he had a unique style of preaching, using a wealth of what we call parables. Stories with a point that are meant to make us think. We learn so many parables that when we're children, that we think really Jesus began. Come on, I want to tell you a story. Once upon a time, they're not once upon a time stories for children to be amused and then to forget when they're in adulthood. These are adult stories which end leaving you thinking, so what should I do? What should be my response? Jesus tells the story about a good Samaritan. And how does he end it? So who was neighbor to the man on the road? And he doesn't answer. You have to answer. What does it mean to be a good neighbor? They were designed to make us think, and they could be returned to again and again. His miracles. Jesus performed great wonders, but usually for a reason. The miracles bore witness to his power, not only over human lives, but also over the whole of nature. But they also demonstrated his sense of compassion over both suffering and the effects of evil. It wasn't magic jokes to show how clever he was or how good he was or whatever. They were demonstrations that he was doing it by the power of the divine God himself. And he was doing it out of the love that comes from God. And then his death. If you were constructing a biography of Elizabeth I, what would you put in? The sort of costume she wore? How she made up her face? The pageantry? Her childlessness? The armada? The escaping of all the plots? How many people she beheaded? How long would you spend on her death? Margaret Thatcher, you're going to do a biography. How long would you spend on the bit after she ceased to be Prime Minister? There is a bit of a story to tell, but not much. When it comes to Jesus, the story is his death. That is the story. From a quarter to a third of each gospel is devoted to the last week of Jesus' life. His death is expected and accepted by Jesus himself. Its significance is explained in detail. The purpose of Jesus is to die and then to rise in victory. And such a death was to be seen as the means by which we were all brought the mercy and forgiveness of God. You, me, anyone in the world. That's the victory of the good news. It's that Jesus died for you and me. And the Gospels are all written to drive us to that conclusion. So what do you make of Jesus? The beginning of the good news of Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And if you go on towards the end of our reading, when Jesus comes to John and is baptized, people hear a voice from heaven that says, "This is my beloved son." So there's some evidence that God thought so too. Jesus' self-understanding is described in the Gospels in various ways. Sometimes he calls himself the Son of Man, an enigmatic figure that's sort of messianic from the book of Daniel, a sort of everyman, but also the anointed one. Sometimes he's described as master or teacher, master in the sense of both rabbi or also as the owner, the boss. And in John, the emphasis is on Jesus' relationship with his heavenly Father. An unbroken relationship, except for one moment in time and eternity. But from the start, it's clear that all four Gospels have the baptism story, because there God reveals him to those who listen as his beloved Son. The relationship is unique, yet a similar relationship is around and available to everyone through what Christ has done. So the Gospels provide us with a constant challenge as to what response we make to the good news. And again, we can be simplistic. Matthew emphasizes that really it involves quite a costly commitment to live in this new kingdom, one run on God's rules. Mark emphasizes that we are to follow Jesus in the way of the cross, giving up our selfish ambitions to serve the living God, enduring the suffering of this world in the power of Jesus. In Luke, it's to know not only the joy of forgiveness, but the power of God's Spirit with us. And in John, it's the reminder of a constant communion with God, because God is with us all the time through Christ's death and resurrection. He's now available. So when we read the Gospels, we're not to say, oh, we know this one, once upon a time. Just like once upon a time, there were three bears. Yeah, we know that. We know how it ends. Each time we read the Gospels, they present us not with a simple story, but with a story that calls for a response. The Gospels can be summarized in that beginning in Mark. Beginning, the good news, Jesus, Messiah, Son of God. That's the key to what we're reading. So when we read the Gospels, I want to put to you four questions you can ask. Not every passage answers all four, but they cover the Gospels as a whole. What does it say about the person of Jesus? Who he is and what he did. What do we read and learn about that? What does it say about the power of Jesus? To overcome circumstances, to forgive, to empower others. What does it say about the power that there is, that's available from Jesus? What does it say about the challenge that Jesus throws down about how we're to live? And crucially there, I think the older we get, the more the sub-question or the following on question of, am I soft-pedaling the good news, becomes quite crucial. I've learnt to explain away so much of what Jesus says to keep me in my rather comfortable little... Have you ever done that? No, perhaps not. But, you know, you think, Jesus says that. Well, he didn't really mean that, surely. Surely it was just, you know, he was speaking off the cuff like some president's tweet. You know, I mean, did he really mean us to do that? What is Jesus' challenge to us? And then, of course, the fourth question. What is my response in terms of a costly commitment? In terms of saying, I accept what Jesus has done. I accept that he's not just done that, but he's Master, Lord, the Christ of my life. And I'm not just saying that because ongoing from that is not only keeping in relationship with him, but behaving in the way that Jesus would see us behave. You know, it was very common, wasn't it, to wear a little band that said, what would Jesus do? WWJD, yeah, what would Jesus do? Just to remind ourselves, and that at times, oh yeah, what would Jesus do? What's our response? Because the Gospels are never trying to tell us something about a story. They're trying to show us how we should respond to all that Jesus has done and said, all that Jesus can be in our lives. So we keep rereading. And we keep asking the questions. And may God bless us.